This is the happiness quotient. The Aboriginal culture of Australia traditionally believed that the world was made by their ancestors back in the beginning of time, the dream time. The ancestors made everything. The land and the people were created by spirits, and they made the rivers and the streams, water, land, hills, rocks, plants, and animals. It's believed that the spirits gave them hunting tools and each tribe its land, their totems, and their dreaming. The didgeridoo, the long wooden musical instrument which we can hear the sounds of now, are commonly and rightfully associated with the Aboriginal culture. Didgeridoo is an onomatopoeia word, meaning the word mimics the sound that the instrument makes. Today, I'm going to introduce you to an ambassador of the Aboriginal culture, a fascinating and amazing man with a deep and learned understanding of his culture, but also of the didgeridoo and the art and dance that goes with it. Welcome. Before we get started, please check out A Course in Happiness. In this short, colorful guide, this easy-to-follow roadmap provides gentle, positive suggestions that for eons have been taught by the masters on how to stop chasing happiness in our path toward unlocking the mysteries to life's big questions. Go to patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, where you'll find a free PDF download of A Course in Happiness. I'm Tom Pollard. I first met today's guest at Sydney Bay, Australia, in a place called the Circular Quay. My friend, Rod McCurdy, and I were about to board a ferry to see some of the features of the Sydney Bay area when, from about 100 yards away, I spotted today's guest, George Dow, seated with his back against a fence, the Sydney Opera House across a span of water behind him, in his traditional Aboriginal garb, sparsely dressed, with clay powder turning his skin almost white, and in front of him sat a 4-foot-long didgeridoo. Rod could have very well been in the middle of the most spellbinding story of his life, but I beelined for George and said hello, and asked if he could teach me about his culture and the didgeridoo, and if it would be okay if I filmed it. And he agreed. And now, 1 year later, after posting this short video of George Dow on YouTube, as of this recording, has over 305,000 views. Absolutely incredible. Here's the recording of that video, not even 4 minutes long.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
And action. These instruments are commonly known as the didgeridoo. So when we go back to the Latin terminology, the didgeridoo in the Gaelic language, that's where the didgeridoo came from. In the Gaelic language of Scotland, they called it idgeridoo. Is that your idgeridoo, laddie? And that's what it means, simply means black man playing pipe. Because the same sequence that a bagpipe uses to play, we use the same sequence. But the only thing that makes a difference is the pigskin. You blow into the pigskin, you squeeze the pigskin, and you release the air through the cords. That's with a Scottish bagpipe. Here in Aboriginal Australia, we do it with the power of the breath. The breath is most important. So when one of the early explorers traveled through the top end of Australia, they heard a noise in the bushes, simply saying, that's how it's got its name, didgeridoo. So here in Aboriginal Australia, we call these instruments Yiraki, Yigi Yigi, Matok, Ion Bilbil, Gurumuru Gambak Indaki Gandala. Simply means the voice of Mother Nature. We can't take all the credits for making these instruments. As you can see, it's a hollow log. And the white ants, we don't make it. The white ants eat the insides, then they leave their dirt with deposits behind, and we'll push them out with our spears or longer sticks. And if it gets caught up in the middle, we'll shove hot coals down and burn them out that way. Then after we strip the bark out, we put native beeswax on. And it'll just stop our mouth from splitting. So how we play this instrument, vibration of the lips, gives you the first sound of the drone. Rolling your tongue using your voice box gives you another sound, which we call the call, like the kookaburra. Flicking your tongue makes the kangaroo hop. Using your diaphragm belongs to the emu. Then the hardest part is circular breathing. Breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth, at the same time, and you'll have a constant airflow. So how we do circular breathing, if you hold air in your mouth, you can breathe in through your nose, right? Simply by making your mouth smaller, letting a little bit of air out, you can breathe in at the same time. Simply by doing that. But remember, the first step is the drone. Vibration of the lips. Rolling your tongue using your voice box. Then breathing in through your nose and your mouth. This is what it sounds like when you're playing at about 180 beats per minute.
The link to that video will be in the liner notes of this episode. After I filmed the video that day, I couldn't stop thinking about him. I hoped that he'd still be there after we got back from our tour on the ferry, but he wasn't there. Other than his name, I really had no way of contacting him or finding him, so I searched endlessly on the internet and finally found some information about him on a site called Descendants Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Dance Theater, an organization formed by Jose Calarco, who I reached out to, and coincidentally, he's currently in the San Juans of Washington State, having been held over by the pandemic. And he told me that George was not easy to get in touch with. He's not a social media person, doesn't have an email, not a telephone. But sometime after I posted that video on YouTube, there was a comment underneath written by George's nephew, Thomas Dow. And that was all I needed to go by. So I wrote this young man and said, "Is there any way I can get in touch with your uncle and success?" So I reached out to the person who was taking messages for George. It happened to be his niece, Beatrice Saylor of Australia, of course, where George is living now. And she helped us set up a Zoom meeting a couple of weeks ago as he traveled in a car with his niece, Beatrice Saylor, and her children to a rehearsal. Aboriginal history has been handed down in stories through dance, myths, legends, music, and George Dow represents every bit of that. He's a real ambassador and a fascinating person who I'm honored to have had the opportunity to speak with again. Here is my conversation with George Dow near Sydney, Australia on May 7th, 2021. How are you, my friend?
Good.
George. Do you remember meeting me?
Yeah. Yes, I remember meeting you.
Yeah, your video that I filmed with you has been seen by 288,000 people, and I figured if 100 people watch it, I'm going to be happy. But 288,000, your message, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your joy, it speaks to people. I want to feel it again. How did you become this person that you are, full of so much joy and love?
It would have been from my upbringing. My upbringing and all the struggles, and culture, my cultural backgrounds, my cultural bloodlines, and the knowledge of listening to my old people and carrying culture forward.
So, where did you live? What were the struggles? I really would love to know. I mean, you don't have to go into too much detail.
Yeah, just the struggles of racism here in Australia, just the struggles and the burdens of other brothers and sisters' stories. And instead of walking the other way, I intended to hit it straight on. Walk forward with it, better myself and the people around me of who we are as Indigenous people.
Where did you grow up? Could you tell me about the town or the village that you grew up in?
I grew up in Townsville. Born in Townsville, so I grew up there. Then grew up in Mackay. Went up Torres Straits, grew up a little bit up there. I'm on the tip of Cape York. Then from Thursday Island up in the Torres Straits, I came down to Sydney back in the mid-90s and took up a dancing career. I took my culture a little bit more seriously. Had a dancing career, then started traveling the world and seeing what the world's got to offer and what we can do here in Australia for our people. So I started being a leader at a young age. My parents, they both came from cultural backgrounds. My mother's the last of 14. My father's the third last of 12. So our song lines and our culture through dance, song, storytelling, and upholding the cultural language. Because without language, you can't tell the stories or songs and dance. They will come out of the language of our people. And especially traveling around Australia too.
Yeah.
Traveling around Australia, it opened up my eyes and picking up language as we travel.
George, the Aboriginal people, I live in the United States. And so to me, it's a story that I learned in a book from a teacher, a white teacher, who just didn't ever experience it. I know. The one thing I know is that it's a very old culture, that they've existed for much longer than many, many other cultures. I don't know if they originated from which continent, but what do they represent? Because there's something very beautiful. And when I think of them, I think of people touching the earth, right? You know, that connected to the earth.
Yeah. Yes, we represent the mother. The mother is the earth, the father is the sun, and the sister is the moon. So we all, and through the constellations, through constellations, through seasons, the winds, northeast, southwest, that's how we connect our umbilical cord to Mother Earth. Mm. Mother is Earth, and we always pay homage and respect to our past and present for giving us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding.
When did you first pick up the didgeridoo and learn to play?
I would have done that when I was probably seven years old. Yeah. So when I was about 7 years old, I just picked it up and I started playing. But I was walking around, and it was just a thing that I watched, because like during the 88, we had yeah, my granny.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, we had Fifth Festival of Pacific Arts. So they had Expo 88 in Brisbane, but up in Townsville, we had Fifth Festival of Pacific Arts, where indigenous nations from all over the world came together through Pacific, and it really opened up my eyes of culture and knowledge from all over the world. We had our brothers and sisters from one nation, from the Americas, they came as well. We all shared stories, culture, song, dance, customary laws and customs. And there's similarity in all of our culture. Mm. And that's what opened up my eyes. That made me the didgeridoo. It was probably White Cockatoo, my first ever dance show that I watched. And they're old men, old performers now. They're back when and they're from Larrakia country, Larrakia, Darwin,
yeah,
as well as Mornington Island.
Is the didgeridoo an old instrument as well? Like, what, where did it originate?
Yes, yeah, it's an old instrument. It originated from Northeast Arnhem Land, Yirrkala, a community called Yirrkala, but it's all played through all the Gulf of Carpentaria, all the top end of Australia. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's been passed through bloodlines, song lines to the rest of Australia.
Yeah.
Especially where the places where colonization came. And the culture was dying. So performers like myself and others decided to go into these communities, our elders before us as well, to go into the community again and revive our culture again.
Yeah.
Give back up to our people.
So what are you doing now? What you're rehearsing for a performance now that said that she might be able to record for me?
Yeah, yes. It's for an opening of a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island art gallery in Newcastle.
Wow.
It's up north of Sydney. Huh. Yeah, and there's going to be masks from the 1800s, artifacts from the 1800s that they're going to put on exhibition. Mm. And it's the first time our people are seeing this, because when they came through our communities, they took all of these things to Oxford University. Then now it's in Melbourne, ready to come up to Sydney.
Amazing.
And we're doing the opening exhibition. Incredible. Workshops, traditional workshops, traditional dance performances of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island community.
Right. So do you consider yourself, you're so much more than a musician and a dancer and an artist. You are an ambassador for a culture and all the people that you, right? Helping people learn about who, what you represent to them. And so you're not just dancing to dance. You're sharing a beautiful piece of your history.
Yes. I consider myself as an ambassador, a leader of my community, and a teacher a facilitator, a cultural facilitator.
Mm. Can I read you a couple of comments from the video that people wrote?
Yeah.
Okay, here's one from a gentleman. I hope this guy can visit schools and share the knowledge with young minds. You never know what those needs of knowledge will reap 20 years from now. Now here, after hearing this as a black man, I now know that my weapon of choice is the didgeridoo. Please give this man a TV show or at least a 50-minute special because these have been the most interesting 4 minutes of my life. How about that?
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. That's that, yeah. I'm overwhelmed.
I'm so inspired, and I pray that I can come and visit you again. And I have every intent to. And if you should ever be interested in visiting the United States, you be truly let me know, and perhaps we can start to try to set some wheels into motion, because I would love to have you with me and visit, and I'll bring you to some schools.
Wow, I would love to come into schools over in the States just to teach our culture. I've been over to Hollywood. I've been to Los Angeles.
Really?
That's about it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that really, yeah. But I've traveled through Eastern Europe. I've been to China, Korea, Greece. Yeah, so it really opened up my eyes too as a young person. I think that's where I get my leadership from.
Mm.
I had had to learn how to do all of that. It wasn't all about just the songline dancing. You had to learn the management side of it, and how to speak to people, how to be open-minded to all cultures.
Yeah, absolutely. That you are. And so, do you still go to the Circular Quay and perform there?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Every day, but I also work over at Manly as well. I work at the Aboriginal shop over there as well. It's Aboriginal and interior, exterior decorators.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we put Aboriginal art together with the furniture, antique shop, put two and two together.
Mm.
One of my mates, I know him for about 20 years. He really inspired me. We've been buying didgeridoos from all over Australia, and artifacts, paintings, and selling them and sending money back to our communities.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I go to Circular Quay, like it's an everyday thing of mine. I make sure I go there, not only for just to make a little coin, but also to let the people know we're still there, we're still here, our culture is very much alive. You got any questions, feel free to ask. Yeah. Being
wonderful.
A forefront of our culture.
Wonderful.
An ambassador to our people. Yeah.
So before I let you go, one of the other comments that came on the video is from a young man named Thomas Dow. And he said, "This is my uncle, my dad's little brother." Do you know Thomas Dow?
Yes.
Yes.
No, his name after me.
George told me that he still goes to the Circular Quay in Sydney every day to share his passion and knowledge of the didgeridoo and the Aboriginal people. If you are ever there, make sure you look for him and say hello. If you'd like to support George in his artwork, his music, and his craft, see the liner notes where I have shared his PayPal account, which is b.sailor84@gmail.com. b.sailor, S-A-I-L-O-R, 84@gmail.com. A contribution, no matter how small, will be worth it. Thank you, George. I do intend to see you again sometime, hopefully soon. Thank you to the Wood Brothers and their management for the use of their song Happiness Jones for our theme song here on the HQ, and to their publicist, Kevin Calabro, for helping make it happen.
I never learned a thing being happy.
If you'd like a free downloadable PDF of the Happiness Quotients, A Course in Happiness, visit me at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient.
Happiness Jones.
For more information about me, to inquire about personal coaching or public speaking, in person or virtually, please visit eyesopenproductions.com. Write me anytime at tom.dharma.pollard@gmail.com. Remember, that which we most want to find can often be discovered in the place where we least want to look. And the deeper and the darker the well, the brighter the light we will discover. Don't curse the dark cloud. The rain inside may very well turn your garden green. Thank you for visiting the Happiness Quotient. I will see you all real soon.
Happiness Jones. Happiness Jones, my friend. Happiness Jones.